If you shop at Amazon, I have a request. When you shop at Amazon, don't go to Amazon.com. That sounds weird. How are you going to shop at Amazon if you don't go there? Well, don't go directly there. Start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. When you go there, there's a giant Amazon logo. Click on it. It takes you right to the Amazon homepage where you were heading anyways, but that small detour tells Amazon, we sent you there. And when they get that message, they send us a commission on everything that you buy. So it's a great way to support us without having to do anything different other than when you shop at Amazon, start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for your support.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE SmackDown Live.
Zach, I have some bad news for you. If we don't do more downloads on this show than we did last night for the Post Raw show with Matt Coon, you will never be on this show again.
Well, you know, does that make me the second best co-host that you have, though? Because that's what essentially Shane McMahon's telling his guys.
That's true. I got to say, with all the Crown Jewel controversy, the one good thing about Crown Jewel existing is it has cut down the number of weeks that we have to listen to the brand supremacy nonsense. As a fan of logic, maybe to a fault, I am driven absolutely nuts. WWE math is bad enough when they talk about each wrestler having a 25% chance to win a fatal four-way. You know, like every election, if there's two people running, they each have a 50-50 chance to win. You know, it's just like, it's just stupid. Yeah. How do they keep saying that and nobody speaks up? And now we get this whole thing of, and Nia Jax did it last night. You know, I'm going to win and that'll prove I'm Raw's better than SmackDown. It's like, no, it won't. It means you're better that night in the ring. So we get that nonsense. I hate to start by picking on Shane McMahon a little bit. Because I don't, I have to admit, but as Jason Powell put it in his SmackDown report over at ProWrestling.net, wow, Shane's character is a petty dickhead. So, go ahead.
You're not wrong. It's just like, you know, he's cutting this promo, he's kind of talking up his guys a little bit, and then all of a sudden he just like does a complete 180 and gives them all some very bad news. And outside of it being, you know, just harsh, it really doesn't make a lot of sense. So you have your SmackDown guys, and the guy who gets farthest in the tournament, and the guy who would presumably be like the second best in the world based on how they're promoting this World Cup, like that's the guy you're gonna fire? Like in addition to being harsh, it just didn't make any sense to me. Rolled my eyes for sure.
It's just one of those like arbitrary things where we're gonna add some drama just because, regardless of how it makes anybody look or the logic of it. Now, on a serious note, does that just mean they've taken away all drama and that whatever the finals are, we know the SmackDown guy is going to win? Does it mean that some friend of somebody's going to help the SmackDown guy win to save his job? Or does it mean they're actually going to send Miz or Orton or Hardy or Ray to Raw or somewhere else? Like, is there a chance that there's something more to this than just it'll lead to the SmackDown wrestler winning through some extraordinary means?
No, I don't necessarily think that it means that a SmackDown wrestler is destined to win this thing. I actually am, for as illogical as it is, I think it does add a little bit of intrigue out of nowhere, but it adds it because I think you can analyze the tournament now and go, okay, well, what's going to happen or what's on the docket for these four SmackDown wrestlers? Is Jeff Hardy going to take a break? So is he going to, you know, take the pin in this? He's going to make it really far, but then, you know, ultimately lose. I think you can analyze it from that angle, but there's guys on both sides of the aisle, both on Raw and SmackDown, that I think can and should win this thing. So having that little bit of extra drama, I think it makes for good discussion, but I side with logic rather than just good discussion for the sake of having it.
We have all show to talk about the top story of the evening, which is the writing out of Daniel Bryan from Crown Jewel. He loses to AJ Styles in a match that Shane McMahon, you know, like, I did like the idea of, you know, usually the authority figure comes out and goes, no, we're not going to have the match early. It is booked for the pay-per-view on Sunday. This is not going to happen on my watch. We have a match. We're not going to threaten the pay-per-view match. And instead, Shane's like, sure, yeah, yeah, get it out of the way now. So, you know, he gave, it was a gift to fans in Atlanta and SmackDown viewers. And then they just transitioned to Joe, Samoa Joe making his comeback, attacking AJ and setting that up. I mean, all things considered, obviously, Brian, a conscientious objector to going to Saudi Arabia, WWE, I think, has a lot of pressure to not make it look like they're punishing Daniel Bryan for that decision. But it also doesn't make sense for him to win the title if he's not going to go to Crown Jewel, so you can't look at him tapping out as punishment. It might have been the plan all along, or it might just be prudent based on wanting to have the WWE title defended in Saudi Arabia, because they might be paying for that in particular on their checklist of fantasy wrestling show requirements for the $40 million, give or take. So is Joe a good substitute? It's just kind of a short term. You're not really giving anything away prematurely. It's more just tacking on an extra grudge match between those two and extending it an extra match.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's a viable alternative given the situation. And I think, you know, a lot can be made of WWE going to Saudi Arabia. I'm not a fan of them going through with this show. And I respect Daniel Bryan for holding his ground in that regard. But as far as how WWE responded to that, I thought they kind of hit a home run with it tonight. You know, Shane McMahon made his announcement and it kind of freshened up the show. I think it got people excited out of the gate. We got to see a long Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles match, and then they wrote Bryan out with him losing the match and then getting attacked by Joe. So I think he was protected, AJ was protected in getting the win, and then they set up the Crown Jewel match nicely. So I give them high grades for what they did, given the fact that Bryan's out, but you know, low grades in my opinion for even having to go through this in the first place.
Sure. Yep. All right, let's set the table here. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and PWTorch.com editor, and also host of these, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Shows and podcasts throughout the week, four or five times a week. We've got two shows, a red logo, the post shows that happen right after Raw SmackDown, and then our blue brand, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcasts, that happen later in the week, our Thursday flagship Interview Friday, and sometimes bonus mailbags on Saturdays. So hopefully you're subscribing to the blue brand in addition to this, the red brand. And I don't know, we'll probably have more jokes about brand supremacy the next few weeks leading up to Survivor Series, because it'll be irresistible and none of them will make any sense, just as WWE's thing doesn't. So let's introduce my co-host. The other person you hear is Zach Haydorn. He is a writer for PWTorch.com, covers Raw on most Monday nights, and always provides a report, even if, like this week, due to conflict, it had to be a day late. And you were already on probation. That's why I'm adding that stipulation. And then
it's okay. I understand.
And then he also covers 205 Live, writes specialist columns, and hosts a podcast on the PW Torch VIP lineup. We'll talk about that as the show progresses. But let's get to phone calls. Let's not waste any time. Our phone number is 347-215-8558. 347-215-8558. 558. We'd love to hear from first-time callers. We'd love to hear, you know, people disagree and pick fights and poke and prod all the time on Twitter, and they never show up here. You know, like, we're live. We don't screen calls. You know, you got to be respectful and professional, but call us up if you disagree with something that we say. We love that kind of conversation. So give us a call, man or woman. You really are. We'd love to hear from female callers, too. I said this before. Our podcast demographics say a lot of you listening are women. We'd like to hear from a variety of listeners. So there's my pitch, 347-215-8558. We will now go to calls. We got a healthy dose of them on the switchboard already. Just a reminder, when you call that number, push 1 on your keypad to indicate that you don't just want to stand by, but you actually want to be a caller on the show. We will begin with area code 334. Thanks for calling. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hi, Wade. This is Carl from Troy, Alabama.
Carl, good to hear from you. Always good to hear from Alabama. What's on your mind tonight?
Brother, I've listened to you for a long time, and that for weeks I've heard you say that the WWE shouldn't have followed through with this deal with Saudi Arabia. So, Wade Keller, I'm calling you out tonight. You want people to call and disagree? I'm your man.
All right.
What I want to know.
There we go.
What I want to know is, are you going to cover the Crown Jewel event? You and the people at the Torch, are you all going to cover the Crown Jewel event? And are you afraid of losing members if you cover the event as well?
I'm glad you brought it up. I've had people ask me that on Twitter. It's a fair and understandable question. But I will tell you, that's not how journalism works. For 30-plus years, I've covered WWE, and I've covered things that were good and bad, things that I agreed with and disagreed with. And journalism is not picking and choosing what you cover based on your own moral belief. My job is to cover what WWE puts out there as their product. And it's also my job to express my opinions on the content, the advertising, the tone, and controversial aspects of it. But journalists' job are not to pick and choose whether they cover a political rally because they disagree with a politician. News organizations cover a lot of things that they disagree with. I'm not the one collecting a paycheck directly from Saudi Arabia. I'm not excited about going and spreading propaganda about a country for a paycheck. My job is to cover the product that WWE puts out, and I will do so unapologetically. And I don't think people should think because I cover something, I'm endorsing it, and therefore I shouldn't not cover something because my opinion is they should have tried to get out of the deal or gotten out of the deal by now.
Well answered, my friend. Well answered.
Thanks.
My one comeback to that is, does Daniel Bryan, as full-time talent, since he signed the contract and chose to stay a month ago, should he not be held to the same standard that you're holding yourself then and work that show despite his conscientious objections?
No, I don't think so. They're classified as independent contractors, as JBL said on Busted Open Radio last week, and wrestlers can say yes or no to any booking. I think when you're asking somebody to travel to a country that they, for whatever reason, Brian hasn't spoken on this, by the way. It could be a safety issue, could be a moral objection to taking money that clearly is coming from a regime that he believes, perhaps, is responsible for the murder of a U.S. resident and Washington Post columnist who spoke out against the Saudi regime for many things, but especially the lack of freedom of the press. And then he got silenced, and most credible sources believe, on orders of the Crown Prince, who WWE and John Cena were praising last time. So, no, I think Daniel Bryan, I applaud WWE for letting Daniel Bryan opt out, and hopefully there won't be any punishment overt or hidden because of that decision. And I think that, I don't think his obligation is to work any show. And I think it is absolutely, especially the case for a show that is clearly as controversial as this one.
Well, I appreciate you allowing me to come in and ask a couple questions. And I enjoy the discourse that you all have.
Carl, yes, I absolutely. Carl, I do want to let you know, if you call in the future and I don't bring you on the show, it's not that I'm mad that you asked the tough question. It's just there's so many other callers. It's just happenstance, okay?
I completely understand. Right, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Carl.
Thanks.
You bet.
Me tapping out. See ya.
Yeah, sounds good. Zach, anything you want to add to that conversation I just had with Carl?
No, I think you're right on the money. Can't add too much. As far as the Bryan stuff goes, you know, and I also, in addition to him, just whether it's a safety issue or, you know, whatever it is from Daniel Bryan's side, some people at companies, big and small or entertainment or otherwise, just have certain power to do certain things. The more important they are to that company, they have more leverage. And clearly, Bryan is an important guy, and it could just be that he has leverage, he has that power, and he's choosing to use it here, which, you know, more power to him for that.
Yep. I hope John Cena addresses this, because right now my default position, fair or unfair, is that John Cena did this because he thinks on the scale of what's good for his career, it would be too controversial to go to Saudi Arabia, especially because he was the face of the brand and the face of the propaganda that WWE was paid to, perhaps sincerely spew, but they were paid to say it. He's been singled out in many newspaper articles today on PWTorch.com. I highlighted some of them in an article today showing all the media coverage of Cena pulling out of the show. And most of the articles that I looked at quoted John Cena with his heavy praise for this regime and the the always controversial and now much more high profile and well known to be controversial Crown Prince. So that, along with HBO skewering that, it was just he got torched by John Oliver on last week, this week. So John, my stance is until John explains why he opted out and says it was a moral objection, I'm assuming he did it for understandable, pragmatic, pure business reasons, and so he did it for the money. And until I hear otherwise, I don't think it's – let me say this. It's not fair to say for sure it's that, but I don't think he deserves a bunch of pats on the back for taking some sort of stand when all he did is not want to put at risk his post-WWE life, which is clearly much more prominent on his radar right now because that's where he's trying to build a career. I want John Cena, for all his inspirational platitudes that he puts on his Twitter feed constantly, you were the guy who spoke out in favor of this regime. Do you still stand by those words or not? Volunteer it on Twitter or submit yourself to an interview and let us know. Do you stand by those words or have you reconsidered it based on what you've learned since then or what's happened since then? I want to hear from Cena on that. Brian, I don't think owes us anything in that regard, but because I don't think he did this because he's trying to balance out some other career. It's clear that this was putting at risk his standing with WWE and a payday that amounts to more than he stands to gain financially in the short run, at least, from not doing the show. So I think with Brian, it's a little more clear that he probably deserves by default some applause for this decision.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. And I think the other differentiation between Brian and Cena is, you know, Daniel Bryan's not on the record in the middle of a wrestling ring in Saudi Arabia praising the government and the country that he's now opposing. You know, John Cena is directly tied to those words that he spoke in that ring, whether he likes it or not. And I think because of that, he does owe a little bit of an explanation as to what is driving this decision. And I'm a little surprised that we haven't gotten one, because it'd be real easy for him at this point to just say, hey, with all the stuff going on, I'm not going, and just to kind of just keep his head above water in that regard. So maybe it's coming soon, maybe it's not, but I think he does owe that explanation given the fact that he was so closely tied to the last show.
I agree with your sentiment. I would stop short of saying it's owed. I would say this: if he wants praise for this, then he needs to explain his stance. If he's choosing, and perhaps he just doesn't want to go on record because he doesn't want to be controversial, more controversial than he already has been, maybe he – yeah, I mean, I'm a little hesitant to use the word owed in a situation like this, I guess. He if he wants praise, if he gets praise, it should be based on explaining why he opted out, though.
Yeah, can't argue with that.
Sure. All right, let's go to 360 next, and then 413-504 and 432 are on deck. 360, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, my name is Derek from Paulsboro, Washington.
Paulsboro,
Washington. Paulsboro, about an hour from Seattle.
Good. All right, cool. Yeah, so thanks for calling. You sound like a first-time caller, because I think I'd remember that city.
Yes, I am.
Thanks for calling. What inspires your call tonight?
thanks, Wade and Zach, for having me on. I appreciate it. I'm a regular listener, and I called Greg on Sunday night after Evolution, and I'm like, oh, I got to keep the streak going now. Go for the big time and call in for the SmackDown tonight. So I thought the show was really good. I heard earlier today that, you know, Daniel was definitely a no go, and so I was really curious to see how they were going to deal with it. And you know, we were given that awesome match. So I thought, what a great way, you know, to deal with it, because that was a really pay-per-view quality good match for SmackDown. And I mean, I give kudos to Daniel Bryan for doing that, and I mean, whatever his reasons are, I mean, he's really the only one who stood up, and I mean, that's awesome. And all in all, I mean, it was a decent episode, you know, pretty slowed down after the initial first the good match, and then the Brood thing I thought was pretty funny with the New Day. Other than that, you know, and then it kind of, you know, with all the other stuff kind of slowed down, but, you know, decent episode. I thought better than last night's Raw. So all in all, though, but yeah, I was really happy to see that AJ Daniel match, and that it was given a a good amount of time.
I like that instead of just canceling the match or doing a fake injury angle, they hyped this. They got people excited about it, and they delivered. And it led to a good episode of SmackDown that I think maybe helped just make fans not feel like WWE took something away from them or punished Daniel Bryan for taking that stand. So, yeah, all in all, I think that they handled it well.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, with the Joe, do you just think they're kind of just throwing Samoa Joe in there? And that, I mean,
yeah.
Besides the, besides the Braun and Brock match, is this really just like a glorified house show? And do you think that everything's just going to kind of fall in line except for, we're going to get a new Universal Champion?
Well, I think we're going to get a new Universal Champion unless they do some sort of double countout or not finish or there's some glitch. So I think we'll get that. And I mean, a glorified house show for it's sad. I mean, I get why you're saying that, Derek. Isn't it sad, though, that a match or a card featuring the long-awaited return of Shawn Michaels, the great Mr. WrestleMania and Showstopper, Hall of Famer, he's making his return, and it feels like he's just part of a glorified house show? I mean, that's sad. Yeah.
That's just so upsetting to watch Raw last night and to have it end. And for me, I'm 43, so, I've been a fan my whole life and, obviously was in my 20s during the Attitude Era. So got to take all that in and watch Shawn Michaels as a kid, as a young adult and everything. And for me not to be excited for either one of those guys, especially after the match that we saw in Australia, it's a bummer. I mean, it really is. And you hit it on the head by saying, yeah, it's sad that we're not talking about that. To think Shawn Michaels will come back and have it be in this situation, everything. It's definitely a bummer as a fan. I mean, I know the guy last night didn't seem to mind, and maybe I'm in the minority. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm not, but
no.
I just would think that, this would be such a bigger deal,
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think I don't know if you're in the minority or majority, but I you're certainly not alone. Derek, appreciate you calling.
Thank you for having me. Thanks a lot.
Yep, call again.
Take care.
Yep, you too. I have not had the chance to talk about Harry's Razors in a while, but they're back as a sponsor of the program. And I'm happy to endorse this product. It is my razor of choice now, and I highly recommend you check it out if you shave. Harry's razors are great. The packaging that they come in, the craftsmanship of what you hold in your hand, the balance, the sense of quality is all important when you're putting something sharp up against your skin and you want it to feel good and leave your skin feeling good, but also accomplish its task of giving you a clean shave. Harry's does all of that. It's got a smooth, comfortable glide. It just feels right in your hand. Those cheap plastic razors or the imitations out there that try to look fancy and you overpay for don't have the same feel. Harry's stands behind the quality of their blades, but they know switching razors isn't an easy decision, so they created a trial offer. And you can claim yours by going to harrys.com/pwtorch. That's right, harrys.com/pwtorch to redeem your offer. You can redeem your trial set at harrys.com/pwtorch. You get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. Weighted ergonomic handle, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, a travel blade cover, all in pretty cool packaging. And if you end up liking Harry's, well, you can save money in the long run because by selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's can offer their blades at a price much lower than the leading brand, just $2 per blade compared to $4 or more. So check it out. Go get your free $13 value trial set with everything you need at harrys.com/pwtorch. All right, we'll go to 413 next. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, Wade, this is Dave from Holyoke, Mass.
Thanks for calling, Dave. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, just like the last caller, I definitely enjoyed the New Day Brood segment, the little homage with the blood or, red mist there.
Yes.
But with the opening segment, you know, with Daniel Bryan there and stuff, two things on it. The first, you know, I know with them being in Georgia and stuff and the crowd really being behind AJ, I just kind of I was noticing with Daniel Bryan, and obviously they're not turning him heel or anything like that. But my question was more so, do you think they ever would? You know, he's yeah. such a talented performer. He can play it up on both sides of it. And I think he's someone that would almost probably just enjoy, I guess. I could see him not really minding just getting to explore and expand a little bit more and go the heel route if the story was right.
Zach, we did see tonight, because it was an AJ Styles hometown crowd, he lives 60 miles from the arena in Atlanta, the crowd was on AJ's side. And I wouldn't say Bryan played the heel, but there was an awareness that he would not be the favorite, and certain spots were set up to kind of play off of that. I don't think you can replicate fans booing Daniel Bryan against very many people in very many cities. So I think that's the challenge. Would Daniel Bryan enjoy it as kind of a fun challenge? I mean, just to be a break from what he's used to doing? Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of babyface wrestlers who have spent, you know, all of their career, most of their career, and certainly their entire main event national spotlight career as a babyface, I think they all fantasize a little bit about being able to tell off the fans and cut a heel promo. Yeah. It's more fun. What do you think watching that tonight, Zach?
Yeah, I definitely noticed the reaction, and kind of it has perked my interest a little bit as to, like, wow, Daniel Bryan is actually he's getting some boos here. But given the fact that it is in Georgia and he was going up against AJ Styles, I don't think that those boos are something that is going to be replicated in other towns across the country. I think this was more the outlier than the rule itself, because if you just look at Daniel Bryan and who he is and what his gimmick is, I mean, so much of it plays babyface. The yes chance, the fact that Bryan's small in size, just the fact that who he is and how well documented his story is within the WWE right now and all the fans, I think it's almost an impossibility. And as much as Bryan might want to relish a chance to turn heel, I really don't think he could be effective at this point, just because so many fans are connected to him in a way that a lot of baby faces would dream of. And then on the WWE side, with Roman Reigns leaving due to his illness, I think they need like a pillar baby face like Daniel Bryan to be a linchpin on one of these shows. And I don't think it makes business sense for them to do the turn either. So yeah, I mean, Bryan might fantasize about it, but I just do not see it happening, even though he got some boos tonight.
Dave, anything else or reaction to that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm in the minority with this, you know, but and I suppose, you know, Daniel Bryan can do whatever he wants to do, but I'm definitely still cringing at points, you know, when he's wrestling, just knowing the background, knowing his comeback. You know, they did that spot off the top rope there where AJ kind of fell a little awkward and, you know, his head, neck a little bit twisted some.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just kind of concerning at points, you know, it's because, you know, as we've seen kind of late, you know, anyone can get injured. You know, it's just even if it's a freak accident when someone that has that kind of history.
I've been largely pleased with Daniel Bryan adjusting his style since his comeback. I think he's gotten to a point where he's not taking very many chances. I think getting suplexed over the top rope, I mean, it was cool because that almost never happens. Since I've been watching wrestling for decades, that gets teased. It almost never happens. And, you know, I've seen it happen before, but it doesn't usually happen. And here it happened right away. I think you got to trust wrestlers to take a bump over the top rope to the floor. The move by design is not one that's going to necessarily impact the head or neck. And I don't think you can wrestle scared. I don't think you should build into your repertoire moves that just clearly are, if you do them night after night, are going to be dangerous and degenerative for an area that is already of concern. I don't see Daniel Bryan doing that anymore. So I feel like he gets a really good grade and WWE gets a good grade if there's some, you know, force being, if there's some pressure behind the scenes. Zach, your thoughts on his style so far?
I agree with you guys. Let me put it this way. I'll talk out of both sides of my mouth here a little bit, but I think for the most part, yes, you have to absolutely trust the wrestler. You can't go in there and be scared of your performance. And I think for the most part, Wade, what you said is on the money. Like, he has altered his ring style a little bit, and it's worked to his benefit. At the same time, I do think about it almost every Daniel Bryan match, so I don't know that you are the minority in that regard, because it crosses my mind. They did that spot today, not the vertical suplex spot out of the ring, but the spot off the top rope where it looked like AJ just missed a little bit on his suplex and came crashing down on top of Daniel Bryan's upper body.
Yeah.
And it's just stuff like that, like not a dangerous style, but just crazy things that can go wrong in a wrestling match that makes me think about it almost every time.
And that might be a move where Bryan's like, wow, that was a close call. I don't want to do that again. I'm not sure if he can go through his career saying, I can't ever do spots where there's risk. And so for me, just my comfort level is an accident might happen. But I don't want him routinely doing a move that by design, that's the key word, by design is debilitative to his neck or concussion causing. But if there's going to be a spot now and then where the landing isn't quite right, I mean, I think if he's scared of that, he can't be in wrestling anymore, you know? So I think those are kind of individual cases. If it seems low risk and the only way something goes wrong is if something goes wrong, something can go wrong with anybody. And it does happen. And so, yeah, I'm really outspoken about doing moves that by design cause concussions or head trauma or neck trauma. But I'm not someone who says we can avoid all accidents and that you have to wrestle in a style where that happens. Because nobody gets into wrestling thinking they're going to come out of it unscathed and that there aren't risks in what they do. So it's about being careful and calculated and not doing anything that by design puts you at risk over and over again.
Yeah, and the other thing to that, too, is, you know, given Bryan's history with that kind of thing, I think he's come a long way in terms of being a professional in a company that needs him to really avoid the designed big bumps. You know, he's had a lot of history of just doing some really risky stuff in there.
Yeah.
And I think he's toned that back to his credit.
Dave, any quick closing words from you?
Yeah, I just got a quick random question. I don't know if you know the answer to. My wife and I sometimes will watch the Purge, the TV show that comes on after SmackDown now. And I was just,
how dare you? We're live on the air then.
Sort of
Sorry.
how it compares rating wise to Miz and Mrs. I was just curious if the Miz and Mrs. popularity was, you know, extremely popular, or if it just was kind of your average post SmackDown kind of bump.
Is that a show that's on now, currently after SmackDown?
Yeah, it comes on right after the same time that Miz and Mrs. was coming on.
All right, I'm looking up to see if it made in the 18 to 49 demo last Thursday an original cable series in prime time, and I do not see it on the – I don't only have the top 20 list accessible right now. So it does make the top 20, and Miz and Mrs. did. So it's doing less than that. I don't know how much less.
Okay.
I can try to research it a little bit more if you want to drop me an email.
Okay.
But yeah, Miz and Mrs.
All right, sounds good.
All right, cool. Yeah, speaking of...
thanks a lot, guys.
Sure, Dave, thank you very much. Speaking of going heel, I get to play, you know, like I say, you know, I kind of play a baby face on this show. I try to be nice and courteous, and it's more aligned with how I normally am, I hope. But on The Fix with Todd Martin, the VIP show, as Todd says, especially during the mailbag, I kind of get to play the heel role a little bit. And it's not put on. I mean, there's just something about by Wednesday night, after dealing with Todd for 2 hours, and the people that email Todd... it's not put on. There's just something that triggers it. So if you're not a VIP member and you're curious what I'm like when I'm a little bit in come across a little bit as a heel, it's not a work. It's not put on. It's just after a couple hours of Todd, by the time Wednesday night comes around and the way those people write those emails, says Todd points out, sometimes a different side of me comes out. So, and by the way, if you're trying to figure out who Zach sounds like, it's Beto O'Rourke. His speaking style, the cadence of his speaking, it's Beto. So you can go look... play this back and then pause it and then play a tape of play a video of Beto on YouTube or something and you can compare, and there's some stylistic similarities to their cadence.
Yeah, Wade, you think I spent this evening watching SmackDown, but really I was just watching, you know, Beto rallies just to get ready for this show, get my voice and the cadence right. So hopefully I'm on point with that.
He was on Hardball with Chris Matthews right before SmackDown, so it was fresh in my mind. I like had that on. I wanted to see how he did in that college tour type town hall thing he's doing. And everybody vote, by the way. Everybody vote. Texas, you've got a low voting turnout. Everybody, whatever, whoever you're voting for, just go vote. Don't take it for granted. That we should, with the Saudi Arabia deal and what's going on there, as a wrestling fan, just treat it like, schedule it like your favorite band having a concert. You just don't let anything get in the way of it. Or a dentist appointment when your tooth is in pain and you need to, you just make room in your calendar. Nothing gets in the way. You go get your tooth fixed if it's giving you toothaches. That's how voting should be. All right, that's the end of my public service announcement. But hopefully if that gets a couple of you to vote who wouldn't have, it was worth 15 seconds.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we have our on-site correspondent standing by. I want to get in a couple more calls here before we go to him, but we'll be a little more brief here. 504, you are up. Thank you for holding. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Jason calling from New Orleans, and I got to commend you taking a call from New Orleans, Wade, after Sunday.
Oh, man.
You know, I'm not going to wait till Wednesday to turn heel at this rate. Now, hey, I got to say, that was a damn competitive game if it weren't for that fumble and that interception. And I know you can say that about a lot of games, but, like, our top receiver and a quarterback has been playing really well. Just changed the complexion of a game that we were in control of. It's painful, but with how the Rams are playing, I don't think we had a chance to get home field, so it's just a matter of keeping up with the Bears and Packers, with the Lions unfortunately dropping off as usual. So it hurts, but I felt good that and otherwise they were right there with them, if not for those two uncharacteristic turnovers.
Yeah, that was... Well, I was going to say that was tough. It was tough for you, not for me.
But the gracious thing to say, anyway, Jason, I'm sorry, the gracious thing to say is congratulations, rather than make a bunch of excuses. So congratulations to your team. Drew Brees is phenomenal, and I hope we meet you in the playoffs and have another miracle.
Yeah, that'd be cool, minus the miracle. anyway, I was calling about Becky. So we all assumed that crowds were never booing Charlotte. They were sort of booing the booking or, you know, the machine behind it. And it sort of became cool to cheer Becky. Now that she's moving on to Ronda Rousey at Survivor Series, I'm wondering if there could be maybe some people that start to boo Ronda because it's cool to boo Becky's opponent. And Ronda is, I mean, I already don't like Ronda Rousey, so as far as her in the WWE. Mm-hmm. So I would be inclined to boo her. In fact, when Raw came to New Orleans 2 months ago, I booed Ronda when she came out. So I wonder, do you think that there could be any sort of a splashback onto Ronda based on the fact that, you know, Becky's sort of the it.
Yeah.
I don't want to call her a girl. The it person right now. because Ronda gets overwhelming support and has so far. So I wonder if we could get a mixture of boos and cheers for Ronda just because of her opponent being Becky.
Yeah, Jason, a good question. If you get a chance, Matt Kuhn and I talked about that on the post-Raw show yesterday, too. I'm as intrigued as you are by this. I'm really curious what the crowd reaction is. Zach, what's your prediction? What do you think is going to happen in terms of crowd response? And did you get any hints tonight from how the crowd in Atlanta responded to her?
Yeah, I'm worried for Ronda Rousey here. It's not that Ronda's not over. It's not that she's not one of the top stars in the company, but she's now faced off with an act with just an incredible amount of momentum and passionate fans and passionate response behind her. And I think you saw that tonight. I mean, when Becky Lynch just uttered the name Ronda Rousey, the boos reined in. It wasn't a lot of them, and yep, it wasn't overwhelming, but they were there. And I think both women, Ronda and Becky, are both insanely over Becky, though, is just over in a different way. It's an organic way that came about over a long period of time, and people are just attached to her right now, whether WWE wants to see it or not. And WWE has just done a pristine job with Ronda Rousey up to this point. I mean, they've protected her in the right way. She's hit home runs every time she's gone out there. And this is the first real mistake that I think they're making with her, because at this point, Ronda's not a seasoned enough professional to be able to handle necessarily a crowd out there that's turning on her right in front of her eyes. We don't know how she's going to respond to that type of thing. And I think it's coming. It's not that I'm not intrigued by the match. I definitely am. And I think it could definitely be a show stealer at Survivor Series, but I just question putting Ronda in this situation, given how great she's done up until this point.
I think it's going to be interesting how they try to steer fans between now and then, and if that is successful or it ends up backfiring too, because so far fans sort of know how they feel about Ronda, and they sort of know how they feel about Becky, and they haven't had to choose. And I think a lot of people who like Becky also like Ronda. So, how much of the cheering of Becky, if it happens and it comes at the expense of Ronda, but it's really not anti-Ronda, but it's anti-WWE, you know, booking of Becky. Yeah, right. Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting to watch, and we'll have a few weeks here to talk about it. Let's get another call in here. 432, you're up. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, guys. This is Steven in Odessa, Texas. How are y'all?
Doing great. You sound of voting age. Have you voted yet? Are you voting?
I will tomorrow, the early voting.
Awesome. Good. Good. I, it was a coincidence. We happened to get a Texas call right after I urged Texas to go vote. After talking about Beto and I can't think of his opponent. Ted Cruz. Yes.
Ted Cruz. Yeah.
Yes. Equal time rules here on the podcast.
But anyway, it's a couple of things. I thought the main event and the opener should have been switched, because it seems like right after AJ and Daniel, the quality just kind of slowly started to drop.
Now, let me jump in. Also, I know you just started, Steven, but why I like when they start with a big match is like this, where it's going to go long, is you don't know when it's going to end. And if they ended the show with it, you're going to have a pretty good idea when they're coming up to the top of the hour on SmackDown, because there's no soft overrun, that there's a hard end point,
right?
And you kind of know when it's going to end. So, like, to me, that balances out a little bit. And it was an organic match. It just sort of happened, you know, the way it played out, storyline-wise. It sort of is a heated moment. It organically happened. And they had announced, I think, a suitable star-studded main event that did have to do directly with Crown Jewel. So I understand why they did what they did, and I think it worked out well. That said, I want to add this point. Becky Lynch was cutting her promo at the 30-minute mark of the second hour. She was talking about Ronda Rousey. Nothing happened until the 50-minute mark when the bell rang for the main event. I mean, it was commercials and plugs and video packages. So that probably added to what you're saying. It was just like that second hour with a Halloween match, and then, you know, a Becky promo, and then the main event. There was a lot of other filler, I guess.
Right. And also, here's the thing that really kind of dumbfounded me, is that there was not a women's match at all.
Yeah, yeah. Well, blame Danny Bryan and AJ Styles for wrestling such a long, good match. They pushed him out of there. I mean, yeah. I mean, they certainly could have put a women's match instead of Shinsuke and R-Truth out there, but it's good to see the U.S. title was found after being lost for 6 months.
Yeah, and the other thing about that too is you got the Ronda or the Becky Lynch promo too, which I thought was a really good promo on her part as kind of the women's segment of the night. So I think you can give him a pass on that one.
Right, and then of course I'm sure everyone's noticed by now that as far as the writing goes for Becky, she's kind of obviously what everyone's used the phrase, the Stone Cold Becky.
Yes.
Since she doesn't insult the fans anymore, you know, she didn't make really any cocky remarks tonight. It was pretty much just a good, straightforward, solid promo, which, again, like everyone else, that kind of makes me worry for Ronda as far as the crowd reaction.
Yeah, I also think if she were insulting the fans, it wouldn't make a difference. Like, fans would be like, she's scripted to say that. We know what Becky really is. So, in that, it would make WWE look bad. But I'm not sure. I think Becky's sort of Teflon right now. I think she fans are going to like her almost no matter what they do. It's like when they tried to turn Daniel Bryan heel a few years ago. It's just, sometimes a character catches fire and fans think they know who they are. They believe they know who they authentically are. And they're not going to boo them no matter what the promotion tries to manipulate them into doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Steven?
Great. And then I guess one last thing. Does this mean over the next few weeks we're going to have to see the traditional Raw invade SmackDown, SmackDown invades Raw, and everyone's doing their pep rallies, your Survivor Series?
Yeah, go into the archives and listen to me rant about that stupid backstage attack last year. It was just the dumbest thing.
I listened to that show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's so stupid. Please, WWE, don't subject us to that again. It was so dumb. This whole thing. I mean, you can do, you know, like you can say like pride is on the line, but don't say supremacy. It's not supremacy. Quit overstating things. Just go, hey, it's one time a year we get to, you know, have Raw versus SmackDown, and it's, you know, more than a flag football game to find out who's better on that night with the matchups that are there, and stop insulting us by trying to make it something it's not. So anyway, yeah, I shouldn't rant yet. They haven't done anything to irritate me yet, other than the Nia Jax thing and all that. But I'm getting ready. Wait till next week. Tune in next week. Yeah. Thanks, Steven. We got to get to our inside correspondent. Appreciate you calling. Call again.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, so we're going to come back after this with our on-site correspondent to find out what it was like in the building, how full the building was, and all that other good stuff. If we didn't get to your call, and some of you on hold we didn't get to, please email question or comment, wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. All right, we are now joined by our on-site correspondent, Chris R., who attended SmackDown in Atlanta tonight. He's on the road home. Chris, thank you for taking time to talk to us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So are you from Atlanta or outside of Atlanta?
I live about 40 miles north of Atlanta.
Cool. Do you want to give a shout out to the suburb?
Kennesaw, Georgia.
Ah, cool. I've heard of that.
Cobb County.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's talk about tonight's show. First of all, how was the attendance? I noticed at the beginning of the show, they it was like watching Impact Wrestling. They zoomed in on fans a little closer than normal. They didn't do as many wide shots. Now, that could have just been an artistic choice, but it also could mean it hadn't filled in yet or there was a lot of empty seats. How was the crowd?
Yeah, in Atlanta, we tend to arrive a little late here for whatever reason. But the 300 section was all tarped off. The very top of the building was completely tarped off.
Okay.
But everything that was open was full besides the section that had the hard camera in it, which was right in front of me. That was about half full, but everything else was completely full. So it was decent. I'd say 8,000 to 10,000 people there.
Okay, sounds good. And how would you rate their enthusiasm start to finish throughout the night? Did it ebb and flow, or were they pretty into it?
Yeah, it was up and down. I mean, it started out really hot because, I mean, you know, WWE title match, AJ Styles, the hometown guy, comes out. So it was really loud at the beginning, and then it just had a weird flow. The whole show did tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It was odd.
Well,
but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, you talk about the flow. Becky Lynch cut her promo 30 minutes into the second hour. And then the main event started 20 minutes later, probably 15 minutes or so after she finished. But that had to be weird being in the building for that long and to have just really nothing much happening in the ring.
Yeah, they showed a lot of promos for WrestleMania coming up and Survivor Series, a video game, Crown Jewel. There was a lot of video packages and a lot of standing around by, like Nakamura came out, and I swore he was out there for about 15 minutes taking pictures with people and high-fiving people, which is odd because, you know, he's a heel. But
yes, I should say. Zach, go ahead with a question for Chris.
Oh, I'm interested in the reaction between AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. There was clear that that there was some boos towards Bryan, given that you guys were they were in Georgia tonight, and that's AJ Styles' home state. So, talk a little bit about that. Was it overwhelming AJ to Bryan, or did it get mixed as the show went on? What was the crowd's reaction between both of those, you know, mega baby faces on SmackDown?
Well, Atlanta made me really proud by booing Daniel Bryan. I was excited about that. But it started out, they both were kind of cheered because, you know, we didn't think we were going to get a title match. Obviously, there was rumors about Bryan not going to Saudi Arabia. So it was kind of like, well, it may happen, but we didn't think it would. And once it did, man, the crowd was – they were into that match, and they booed Bryan like halfway through. But then when he put his finish on the crossface or whatever, everybody's cheering yes for him. But when he tapped, like, it went nuts in there when he tapped out. So
did it seem like the crowd was anti-Bryan in any way other than we're pro-AJ?
No, it was more we want AJ to win. I mean, if you could analyze it like that, it didn't seem like there was any hatred with Boo and Bryan. It was just like, AJ's not losing the title in Atlanta, bud. Sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. And that it would have been a shock, especially for the reasons that they had the match, to put the belt on Daniel Bryan when the point is he's not going to Saudi Arabia for Crown Jewel. So not that the outcome was a foregone conclusion, but it was, you know, closer than usual to a foregone conclusion. I'll put it that way. Did the crowd, adults and kids, seem to enjoy the Halloween gimmicky match mid-show?
That was really funny. I sat where we were sitting at, there were a row of kids behind us and a row of kids in front of us. And they didn't really get the brew thing, but they knew the New Day. Like, when they heard the New Day music, they were just like, whatever, this is fun. But one of the weird things about it was the ring announcer, he didn't announce any matches beforehand. So we didn't know what was happening. We just saw them decorate the ring with pumpkins. Then the New Day came out. Then the Bar and the Big Show came out. And then they started fighting. We had no clue what kind of match it was, if it was no DQ, if it was tag team. It was just, they rang the bell and they went at it. And they did that all night. They didn't announce a match for R-Truth and Nakamura either. So I don't know what his deal was tonight.
But did you enjoy the Halloween antics?
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it's the New Day. They serve their purpose when they're out there. It was a lot of fun. We did see Kofi almost hurt himself getting out of the ring at the end of the match, so that's hard to hide when you got all those people there looking at you.
go ahead, Zach. Do you have another question for Chris?
Yeah, I'll in the same type of question as my first one, but with Becky standing in the middle of the ring talking about Ronda Rousey, in the earlier part of the show we talked about, hey, is the audience gonna turn a bit on Rousey for Becky? Did you get the sense, based on the audience reaction tonight, that that could happen and Ronda could be in for some boos at Survivor Series?
Oh yeah, if it's anything like tonight, just the once Becky brought her name up, they kind of got a. There was a bit of a Ronda sucks chant going on. There was a bit of booing every time she said something about her name.
Wow.
So it's. If they put them in the ring together with a microphone, like, Ronda's got a long night ahead of her. I don't think she'll be able to go toe-to-toe with Becky on the mic, so. Wow.
No, that's going to be, yeah. From a mic standpoint, it's a no contest, for sure. Yeah, so who got the biggest babyface pop of the night besides, of course, Shane McMahon?
Shane did get a loud pop.
of course he did. He mentioned your. Now wait, was it before or after he mentioned your city for the cheap pop though?
No, when he came out dancing around, like, we were excited to see him just because you don't see Shane a lot anymore. So.
Yeah.
But Becky was really loud. AJ was loud. Rey Mysterio got a good one. Orton, I mentioned a bunch of kids were sitting in front of me when Orton stood up on the ropes and did his little pose. Like, I tried to get a picture of it. Like, I swear there was 20 little kids in front of me with their arms up in the air. So that was, he got a good one. And then I was leaving as Braun's music hit, but I heard it from almost at the door. Like, Braun got a loud reaction. And half the people had left by then, too, because he's in the mixed match challenge. So.
Yeah, so was there anybody who wasn't over? Like, just crowd didn't react to it all?
No, I mean,
that's good.
They reacted to everybody. It was just, like I said, it was a weird flow to the show, but once people actually came out, they got a reaction.
Is there a top three or a top five in terms of who was most over, who was most popular with the crowd?
AJ, Becky, McMahon, New Day, and then, I mean, like I said, I'd put Braun up there, but I wasn't actually in the arena to hear it. But I mean, you heard it.
How about Rey Mysterio and Jeff Hardy later in the night? Where do they fall in?
Jeff Hardy actually didn't get as loud of a reaction as I thought he would, but Rey got a decent one, but he wasn't in the top five. But Hardy's
interesting.
He got a louder reaction when he was on screen cutting his little promo than he did when he actually came out.
And did Randy Orton get the legacy star pop, or were people more booing him or indifferent?
No, he got a good reaction. Like I said, the kids still love Randy Orton, even though he tried to rip Jeff Hardy's ear apart.
Yes, yes. So did you see anything before or after SmackDown to report to us that didn't air on television?
I did see the Cruiserweight show. Jack Gallagher lost to...
Zach, plug yours.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you...
He covers it for the site, and I think do you avoid spoilers usually? If now that there is a spoiler,
I usually try to, so I can have a genuine reaction. Yeah. But it's okay. Go ahead.
All right, you can plug yours if you
want.
Okay. Go ahead. Some listeners don't care.
Kendrick went over Gallagher, and then Mustafa Ali wrestled some guy that I can't remember his name. But at the end, he was getting attacked, and Cedric Alexander came out, and we were all thinking Alexander was going to turn on him, and he teased it, too. The way he picked him up to, like, help him to his feet, it looked like he was going to give him his, I can't think of his finish, the vertebraker or whatever he calls it. It looked like he was setting it up for it, and everybody kind of like, whoa, and then he didn't do anything. And then they had a face-off with Buddy Murphy, and that was it. Then they left, and SmackDown started. And then, like I said, I left during the Mixed Match Challenge intros, so I didn't really see who won or lost those.
What did you, if you don't mind sharing, what'd you pay for your ticket? Where'd you sit? And did you get a good value for that money?
We did. The tickets were $40. We were supposed to sit in section 111, and then when we got there, the tickets didn't work for whatever reason. It turns out they relocated us, which they didn't give us a reason why. Hmm. But it was a good relocation because they set us in section 108 we were in the very back, but it was like, if you could picture a 50-yard line in a football game, we were like right in the middle of the ring opposite the hard camera. So,
oh, that's nice. Yeah. Thanks for holding up the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post show sign too. That was great.
I had my Becky 316 shirt on, so
that's cool.
I don't know if that's made it on TV or not.
If anyone ever gets that seat right opposite the hard camera, see if you can sneak that in. Sneak in a sign that plug, or just hashtag WKPWP. The security won't know what you're talking about. And people can
speaking of signs, I don't know who was doing it, but they passed out. I don't know if it was people for WWE or just some fan printed a bunch out. But it was right in front of us.
Women's tag
team. Four rows. Yeah, it was four rows deep, and they were passing those out, holding those up.
The women. We want women's tag team wrestling.
Yes, sir. That's what it was.
Now I can't wait. You know they're gonna announce tag team titles for women, and then Stephanie is gonna get on camera and just go, it was feels so good to listen to the fans. The fans made this happen. We had nothing to do with it. This was not a corporate decision where we tried to disguise it as a fan movement. It really was. Hashtag give female tag teams a chance. Thank you, fans. We listen. I can't wait for that promo from Stephanie.
You don't sound like you like Stephanie.
Well, I don't like insincerity. I don't like co-opting something under false pretense. Stephanie's fine. But it happens to be the role she plays.
Did they use the signs today during the show? I read on Twitter that they had passed them out, but I don't remember noticing them as the show went on.
You know what would be
great?
They
passed them out.
It'd be great if everybody, sorry to jump in. It'd be great if everyone turned them around and just wrote BECKY space RULZ just to throw it back at them. But go ahead, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see them actually use them. I just saw them being passed out.
Yeah.
Okay. They were held up during a commercial break, so I don't think they got used on television.
Okay.
Boy, those fans are in trouble now. They're supposed to play along. Cool. Chris, anything else you want to share from your experience tonight at the building?
No, like I said, it was odd about the ring announcing and the flow of the show. Like, it's kind of cool seeing what they do during the commercial break and all that, but at the same time, it was like we spent a lot of time waiting around. Like, SmackDown is usually I don't know how it looked on TV, man, but it was just, it seemed like they were in a holding pattern the whole night. I did notice what we thought was funny was Randy Orton during his commercial break. He does so many like calisthenics, jumping around and all that. It's like he does none of that athleticism during his match stuff. Like he's doing jumping jacks and box jumps and all that. And then he gets out there and he does a headlock. And it's like, come on, man. We see you have athleticism. I'm like, do a dropkick.
Chris, this is why we ask. Is there anything else you want to share? That's a great story. that's great.
That's awesome.
I would not have known how to ask that question to draw it out of you. Other than, is there anything else you want to share with us? That is fantastic. Did you notice any merchandise in particular, a prominent amount of, or was it just kind of a mix, or you didn't pay attention?
I stopped by the merchandise stand, and all the stuff that I saw there, people weren't wearing. Like there's a lot of Shield stuff being worn. There's a lot of people dressed up as like Undertaker and Kane, and I saw a couple Steve Austin, but nothing that they were actually selling there was being worn there at the time. Besides Sting mask, I tweeted Cameron Hawkins about the Sting mask. I saw like five of them, which I don't know why they're selling those right now because he hadn't been out there, but they're selling a lot of Sting masks still.
Yeah, someone found a box in the corner of the warehouse, I think.
Easy. Yes. Don't talk about the icon like that.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about the people in the merchandise room losing track of things. It's not a dig at Sting. All right, Chris, thank you. It was a blast talking to you. Appreciate you taking time to talk to us.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Thank you for downloading the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. Don't forget, you can get these shows with the ads and plugs and commercials all edited out on our special VIP audio feed with a VIP membership. That applies to all four shows that I host during the week, the Wade Keller post shows and podcasts later in the week, and also all 7 PW Torch live casts, plus all of our VIP exclusive shows throughout the month. There's about 100 of them. I host about 12 per week that are VIP exclusive. The Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, post pay-per-view roundtables, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, and the Fix with Todd Martin. We got a bunch of other great content. Check out full details at pwtorchvipinfo.com. That's pwtorchvipinfo.com. Yes, all the VIP podcasts, including the ad-free versions of this show, are compatible with popular podcast apps on both iPhone and Android. You can also stream the shows right from our ad-free VIP website, which is mobile-friendly and desktop-friendly. So check out details if you want to support us and get these shows ad-free and a ton of other VIP-exclusive podcasts. That's pwtorchvipinfo.com for more details. We've got a mobile-friendly sign-up form. You can be VIP in about 2 minutes. Go for it. pwtorchvipinfo.com. All right, we are back for the mailbag segment. But first of all, Zach, tell people how they can hear more from you and read your work on pwtorch.com.
I appreciate it, Wade. Well, you can check my Raw report out alongside Wade's every Monday night right there on pwtorch.com. So I'll take everybody through the show in regards to what's happening and then provide analysis on those segments live for the most part on Monday nights. And then I'm the 205 Live guy for the Torch. So now that 205 Live has moved to Wednesdays, my report is up usually sometime very late Wednesday night or Thursday morning. Same type of report as the Raw report, a rundown of what happened on the show, and then some analysis on each segment and on each match. And then outside of that, my VIP podcast, it's called On the Canvas, and that drops usually every Friday afternoon. And what that show is about is about the art of the performance side of the wrestling business. So me and sometimes a Torch co-host break down a current event from that week, whether it's in WWE or NXT, New Japan, Ring of Honor, what have you. But we take a current event from the week and break it down from the artistic side. How did the stars perform in the segment, whether it's a promo or a match or a backstage vignette, you know, what have you. We leave it open-ended, but we kind of leave booking decisions at the door. We leave who wins or loses at the door and just talk about the presentation of that particular segment in the ring or backstage or what have you. So right now, this past week, Greg Parks and I did a preview for WWE Evolution. There's episodes in the archives on Roman Reigns, on Sasha Banks, Bayley, Paul Heyman. There's a frame-by-frame match breakdown of Adam Cole versus Ricochet from NXT TakeOver. So That's all in the archives for you as VIP members, and the show's called On the Canvas. So would love for you guys to press play on that each week and give it a listen. I think you'll enjoy it.
Check it out at pwtorchvipinfo.com if you want to get more information on VIP membership and all the podcasts that are VIP exclusive and 30-plus years of archives of podcasts and retro radio shows from the 90s, which are pretty cool, and archives of the newsletter and ad-free access to our website, mobile and desktop. So check it out, and ad-free and plug-free versions of these Wade Keller podcasts and post shows during the week. All right, well, we got a lot of email. I'm not going to get to everything in the inbox today, but great listener participation with calls. And now we are getting great participation with emails today, too. We'll go to Jack M. first. He says, I noticed a stipulation handed down by Shane O'Mac saying whichever SmackDown wrestler loses to a Raw wrestler, he will be fired. Do you think this is a red herring so that a SmackDown wrestler wins? Or do you think that this is a way to get more star power to Raw in the wake of Roman Reigns leaving? If so, who would be the best fit? I personally think a heel Orton against a babyface Braun Strowman would be money. Yeah, interesting question there. It seems like something too weird to just bring up and add as a stipulation if they didn't actually plan to go ahead and move a talent to Raw. It seems just so boneheaded if you pretend for a moment that it's like Shane being real, because it does, like the situation's real, because why would Shane want to give up any of those four wrestlers on his roster, especially put at risk Rey Mysterio, you know, you know, or Jeff Hardy? But I mean, Rey just came back. So it makes Shane look like a buffoon, I think.
I do too. Like we talked about at the top of the show, it's just out of left field in terms of being harsh and kind of illogical. In terms of, you know, answering the question, Randy Orton moving over to Raw is a bit intriguing if that's the way that they have to go here. Just because I think a lot of what he's done on SmackDown has run its course a little bit, and I think a move to Raw might freshen him up a bit. But at the same time, it is Randy Orton. I mean, he's seen and done it all, and we've seen him do it all. So there's not much WWE can throw us in terms of a curveball that features Randy Orton. So I'm not entirely sure where they go with it. I wonder if it is just something that they tossed out there just to up the ante of the tournament and just give it some extra talking points here for the next couple of days. But it's out of nowhere, if you ask me.
And when you look at the depth chart, I mean, Raw has Dean Ambrose, Drew McIntyre, Dolph Ziggler, Bobby Lashley, Baron Corbin. And then there's a drop-off there with the way Jinder Mahal is being treated, but you got Jinder. On SmackDown, you got Miz, Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura, Andrade Cien Almas, and Randy Orton. It's not obvious that they need to strengthen the heel side of Raw, or that SmackDown can handle losing someone. I guess if you look at Big Show coming back as a heel, maybe at Big Show as a replacement to Orton, and then Orton adds some depth, but you still end up with five top heels on Raw if you move Orton. Dean, Drew, Dolph, and Lashley. I think that's more crowded than Miz, Joe, Shinsuke, and then Andrade and Big Show. I think you need Randy on SmackDown to balance it out. That's where I look at the babyface depth chart, and you see Styles, Bryan, Hardy, and Rusev. And maybe Rey is somebody you could send over to deepen the roster on Raw, which has Braun, Seth, Elias, and Finn Balor. It gives us another talking point, you know, between now and when it happens.
Yeah, and looking at those other guys, you know, Jeff Hardy just came from Raw, as did The Miz. So it'd be kind of weird to switch them right back, and then the only other person is Rey Mysterio, and he just debuted on SmackDown. So there's question marks there too.
Let's go to Dave from Massachusetts. What is going on with Shinsuke Nakamura? At least when he was hitting AJ below the belt, I was weirdly interested. now he just seems so lost. Is there a way to fix it? I did not know much about him until NXT, and I think back to his debut with Sami Zayn, and it was so good. Is it booking? Has he lost a step? What do you think, Zach?
Yeah, I think it's just a it's a combination of both, ultimately. I mean, I think he's been booked poorly, but I don't think he's done himself any favors. I mean, that match with Sami Zayn is it's a long time ago now. It's a really long time ago now in regards to the world of pro wrestling. And he has not come close to touching that performance since that performance. So I think it's a combination of both. It's on him for not either being able to perform like that, or him just choosing not to, given that he's in the twilight of his career a little bit. And then I think it is on the booking too. I mean, I don't know that WWE, well, I know that WWE didn't position him as the featured attraction that I believe he should have been featured as. As soon as he debuted on the SmackDown roster, as you say all the time, he was more merged into the lane of traffic than propped up like somebody like Ronda Rousey making her debut. So there's a big difference there, but both are equally to blame. At this point, I really have doubts that he can be what we all thought he could be upon coming up to the main roster. He just hasn't shown even many flickers of it at all. He's only getting older. He's only taking more bumps and taking more damage. So I think this might just be the Shinsuke that we're going to get.
I agree. I agree with your assessment. I mean, I think there's both WWE booking and really it's Shinsuke, but also just the atmosphere of WWE. Sometimes there's something about being on the New Japan stage where if you have it in you, there's just a more of a sports-like edge to it. And, I mean, the big matches Shinsuke had and the opponents he faced brought out a side of him that has not come through. The Sami Zayn match was great. But, you know, overall, it's a different Shinsuke, and it's a letdown. I thought he could have been one of the bigger stars of this era for WWE. I was an advocate for bringing him in and having him against Undertaker off the bat or Brock Lesnar off the bat and shoot him to the moon. And they didn't do that, and maybe that would have motivated him to be, you know, the more harder hitting athlete with more of an edge than it turned out. And I think he is a little bit in cruise control. All right, up next, Rob in Indianapolis has a tremendous point. If you were one of the four SmackDown wrestlers, wouldn't you lose on purpose in the opening round to avoid the risk of getting fired for losing in the finals? To me, the risk of getting fired is far higher than the reward of winning some goofy tournament. I enjoy your podcasts. Thank you, Rob. I enjoy your emails. Kurt Angle has said this would be the greatest honor of his life, which is just so, you know, come on. I mean, seriously. You won the gold medal. You've been a WWE champion. You were a TNA champion. This isn't even a TNA championship level honor, but.
Well, and not only that, you have WWE on Raw and SmackDown, like, the general managers and Stephanie and Shane regularly talking about how important it is for these guys to have WWE as their jobs. You know, how many times has Stephanie threatened, you know, her general managers over, you need this job, you need this job. And now Shane's just going to fire the person who's actually won two of their matches. Like, it's just, it's beyond nonsensical. I suppose I get where they are trying to go in terms of adding just another layer of intrigue to this whole thing. But I just, at this point, they just let it lie, let the tournament happen. And then, you know, we'll move on after that.
What if the Saudis were like an extra billion? If you just say it's have Kurt Angle say it's the number one honor ever.
Hey guys, I don't mean to tear you away for more amazing content that Wade Keller is putting out like he does every single week, but I need to tell you about my podcast. It's Sam Roberts, The Last Professional Broadcaster, and every Thursday morning I bring to you Not Sam Wrestling. The biggest names in the world of professional wrestling are on Not Sam Wrestling, whether it's WWE superstars like Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, Seth Rollins, Charlotte, Becky Lynch, NXT superstars like Shayna Baszler in the Undisputed Era, independent stars like Joey Janela, promoters like Court Bauer. The voices that you want to hear from this world of wrestling are on Not Sam Wrestling. Plus, every week, we break down everything that's going on in this world with the State of Wrestling segment, which Wade Keller has joined me on more than a few times. Hey, you can get the podcast every single Thursday morning. YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, notsam.com, and you can go the extra mile. There's bonus shows, there's videos, and it's all available at patreon.com/notsamwrestling. However you want to get it, get it. It's Not Sam Wrestling. And now, back to our buddy Wade.
Jacob says, hey, first time emailer, I'm at the SmackDown Live show tonight and wanted to point out that the We Want Women's Tag Titles shown early in the show is the same sign Charlotte and AJ waved around before their mixed match challenge match. We want Women's Tag Team Titles. The other side, phenomenal flair. Maybe this adds to the theory that the signs are planted. Yes, I would say that's safe. Safe to say.
Yeah.
A little embarrassing. That's like going to like a Little League game. And let's do this. You go to your high school graduation and you have like your younger brother like bring a big speaker, a Bluetooth speaker, a boombox, and play huge cheers and chants of your name when you get introduced and accept your diploma. And everyone just turns and looks and goes, dude, we can tell that's a recording. You're not the most popular kid at school. Nice try. That's what this is. It's like, it's kind of pathetic. And I don't think the women need that. So
no, that's a really good comparison. And it's also like, you know, if only WWE had the power to create women's tag team championships, like, oh man, that would be so cool if they had the power to do that. Huh? This is like, come on. If you're going to make them, just make them. You don't need, you know, a trending hashtag to be able to make business decisions like that. So yeah, it is pretty embarrassing, especially that it came out in the way that the emailer describes. Yikes. Yeah.
I mean, this is a case of decision makers in WWE need someone to go, seriously, dude, no, this is not, we do not, that's embarrassing. Right. I mean, it's just embarrassing to do. It's not necessary. All right. Ivan S, just a quick question about Andrade Cien Almas. He hasn't been featured on SmackDown for a few weeks now. He seems to be getting a push, but hasn't been seen in weeks. Is WWE cooling on him? Will we see him back on TV anytime soon? I think he's one of the best upcoming talents. It would be great to hear your opinion on Almas. I mean, this is something Greg Parks wrote about in his column in the Pressing Torch newsletter a few weeks back about SmackDown rotating talent. If they're not going to be featured in a top feud on a pay-per-view, they don't just put them on TV to put them on TV. And in some ways, it's kind of like the Usos take weeks off at a time. Shinsuke has. It makes them seem fresher when they come back, and it keeps the segments on SmackDown that they are featuring, you know, in theory, more relevant and not just filler. So I wouldn't read into it that they're not high on him. It could be they don't want to put him on TV unless it counts for something, because they do care about him, that they see him as more than Ty Dillinger or even R-Truth for that matter. Remains to be seen. What do you think, Zach?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. I think the fact that he's not on TV, I think, could give you a clue as to how WWE really truly feels about him, is in that they want to protect him and they don't want to trot him out there just to trot him out there. They want to trot him out there when they have something ready for him and something that he could sink his teeth into. So yeah, I would take that as a good sign at this point. And you know, nothing to this point has told me that they're not behind him. I just think they're waiting for the right moment, and that's good. It's okay not to overexpose your talent, and I think they're doing Almas a favor by not putting him in just random matches that aren't going to get him anywhere. Wait for the right time, then bring him out and get him to where they want to go. But there's just no need to rush him just to rush him out. No need for that at all.
Just in fairness to Harrison from Florida, he emailed and he goes, with Shane's announcement that a SmackDown competitor in the finals of the World Cup loses, they're not welcome on SmackDown anymore. Wouldn't it make sense in the narrative for a wrestler to lose prior to the finals on purpose? There doesn't appear to be a reward for winning. He's forgetting about the trophy. And this way, the wrestler would not be in jeopardy losing their job. Thanks, and go VIP, everyone. So just, I didn't want Harrison to think like, he's like, hey, I said that too. I want credit. So now he gets it.
Okay, fair.
All right. All right, let's see here. This is Paul L. from Ridge, New York. I have to start by saying this. I was at Evolution on Sunday, and it was amazing. Now, with the announcement that Becky will face Ronda at Survivor Series, I find something interesting. Becky and Ronda got the two top loudest pops of the night at Evolution, so them going at it one-on-one will be interesting. The one thing I find interesting is WWE's preview for a match saying Becky attacked Ronda after Evolution. But, well, that never happened, obviously. Just curious as to what you make of that. Did plans change on their part? Really? And he goes, really? Shane firing someone because they lose to a Raw star? Can he just go away again? And can we just have Paige? I second that. Can we now have a vote? Yeah. Final thoughts. Good for Brian refusing to go to Crown Jewel. I have to assume that's why they did that incredible match tonight. And it's a little funny how those signs that say they want women's tag team wrestling all appear to have the same look and font, like someone mass printed them to hand out at shows. So we're on to you, WWE. We're on to you. Nice try. Yeah, so the preview for the match says Becky attacked Ronda after Evolution. I guess just with words, was there an attack?
No, they didn't. I mean, there certainly wasn't a physical attack. They did show last night on Raw that, you know, backstage confrontation on WWE.com that it wasn't really a, I wouldn't say that Becky attacked her with words or anything like that, but there was a confrontation between the two. But if the words used were attack, I certainly don't think that applies. Definitely not.
Yeah. That's just weird. All right. Patrick from Orlando. I wasn't planning on watching tonight, as I assumed it would be nothing but Crown Jewel hype, but I wanted to see Charlotte and Becky. I assumed they'd be out first, and I'd be able to dedicate just 10 minutes to the program. I'm guessing people like me are the reason for putting AJ and Brian on first. That said, I give up on seeing Becky. I can't do any more of these really bad World Cup promos. All right, Patrick. I mean, people who tune in to see Becky and Charlotte, I mean, I thought they got good content with Becky and Charlotte, but yeah, it was not at the top of the show.
No, I don't know that we've talked enough about the Becky promo. I really thought that she was on point with that promo tonight. I thought she looked the part of the champion, looked the part of top woman, in WWE. And I thought she ran down Rousey, but not in a way that discredited Ronda. You know, she ran her down as like, yep, Ronda, you're great, but hey, I'm, you know, the man, as she said. And I just thought her cadence, her tone, everything really just hit on all cylinders for me.
She's a star. I think she comes out of this Ronda feud a bigger star. I don't think I hope WWE doesn't just make it all about Ronda and portray Becky as just, you know, sort of the one who happened to have the belt who takes on Ronda. I hope that WWE doesn't work against it, but I don't know that there's much WWE can do that's going to stop Becky, because of what you just said. Her performances in the ring and on the mic are so good right now that even if it's not booked that way, she might, despite WWE booking, come out a bigger star.
Yeah. Are you as worried as I am about Ronda in this thing?
No, I'm not as worried. I think there should be some concern, but I think she'll be okay. I do have more confidence in Ronda coming out of this unscathed or less scathed. But that said, I mean, is there, you know, am I going to crane my neck to see how Ronda might react to reality slapping, you know, kind of slapping the work in the face a little bit if she looks around and the crowd is booing her? Like, does she, you know, I joke about it. Like, sometimes she's so happy to be there and so excited and some of her moves look so real. I'm like, I wonder at what stage people are going to clue her in that it's a work. And so, you know, if the fans are booing her, I could see her just like, you know, happy toddler face to mean toddler face and then getting really mad and it just blows up and it turns into a spectacle. But I mean, in all seriousness, I think she'll probably handle it fine and brush it off and probably be prepared ahead of time for that possibility.
Yeah.
All right, Zach in Texas. I'm glad we got to see the Daniel Bryan AJ Styles match as opposed to an injury angle to write Bryan out. The match was really good, and for a minute I thought Bryan might win. What I don't get is why they would book another AJ Joe match for this Misbegotten Crown Jewel show. That should be the nickname. Michael Cole should go, tune in Friday for the Misbegotten Crown Jewel show. I thought for sure they were going to win. Going with AJ Bryan Miz, triple threat, after Crown Jewel. Now I'm not sure. I suppose the one consolation is that Shane added some stakes to the otherwise utterly pointless World Cup tournament. I guess this means the SmackDown guy's going to win. Now onto the most important topic, Becky Lynch. It's criminal how little the hottest thing in WWE got on this show. That said, I appreciated her short and sweet message to Ronda. She's right. With the exception of Nia Jax, all of Ronda's opponents have been on the lower end of in-ring workers. This is her first real challenge, and I can't wait to see the champ take it to her. I'd like to think Becky could win, but they're probably saving that first Ronda loss for Charlotte, because Charlotte beating Asuka's streak did so much for both women. I sense sarcasm. I'm looking forward to what Becky can bring out of Ronda. It is, I mean, from a artistry of wrestling standpoint, it is the best showcase, a very different showcase than, say, WrestleMania in the mixed tag, but the best one-on-one serious match showcase for Ronda. Becky's so capable of bringing Ronda to another level we haven't seen yet. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, especially coming off of Evolution and the match that Ronda had with Nikki. I mean, if she can have that kind of match with Nikki Bella, who, you know, nothing against Nikki Bella, but she's just not on Becky Lynch's level. Giving Becky the opportunity to help carry Ronda to a match that I presume is going to be, you know, a very, you know, given enough time to shine and all that stuff logistically, you really wonder what that match could be. And not only is it going to be an entertaining match for the audience, you know, it's going to be a staple match in Ronda's development as a top WWE star too.
All right, we'll go to Vic S, who says, hey Wade, what's up? Love the show. Time for a 7-second dance break. All right, everybody, whatever you're doing, gotta stand up and dance. If you're on the bus, the subway, jogging, switch it to dancing. All right, good. At this point, do you think, if someone's in the library listening to this, that had to be a blast. All right. At this point, do you think WWE should just build Crown Jewel from parts unknown? Like, seriously, how funny would that be? I, for one, am excited for Crown Jewel, even though I won't be watching it live. So, there we go. All right. Anything you want to add to that? Did you do a 7-second dance break?
I sure did. I did the, you know, the running man in place.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. All right. Kenny O'Sale, VIP member. I must say I enjoyed the show tonight, considering they made most of the situation with the Bryan Styles match happening tonight, as opposed to Crown Jewel, only now reincorporate Samoa Joe into the title picture again to make up most of the first hour was a clever way of booking themselves out of a bad situation, unlike the Ross Cena scenario. I also liked the Brood segment with New Day, and having a match with Pumpkins involved was one of the best things I've seen in pro wrestling in terms of doing something different. Well, it was different. But outside of that, the show was more serious this time around. My question to both of you is that we're getting an early taste of what SmackDown might be like on the new Fox in terms of possibly a more serious tone in small doses. Or is it way too early to transition to that at this point? While I'd like to see Styles hang on as champion for a little longer, now is maybe the time for Joe to be champ, as I think he and Bryan could possibly headline WrestleMania. Good show so far. Maybe instead of punishing Zach, you should promote his On the Canvas show to the livecast family of shows Thursday, since Impact is airing later, and move the Impact show to Fridays. Just a thought. Kenny, we are not looking to hire program directors. Don't start causing trouble. And I wouldn't call that I would call that neither a promotion nor a demotion. Shows are where they are for reasons other than how important they are. Okay, hope I got out of that one because it's true. Okay, so the new Fox, yeah, there's reports that Fox wants a more sports-like show, a vibe to it to kind of fit with their sports lineup on weekends. We'll see how that plays out and how long it lasts and if it really happens. But I don't think we'll see much in the way of that this early. I think Vince wants to do what Vince wants to do until then, and it would probably be in maybe 3 months as a lead-up we see changes. I would think... not now. I don't want to see Styles Joe at WrestleMania. I think we've seen enough of it, and I think they need. I mean, in general, I would. But in a specific, now that we've seen it so often, I think it's too fast of a turnaround to do it again.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think they've milked that for all it's worth, and now they have. You know, they're going to have another one here at Crown Jewel. So yeah, I think both guys should move on to just not necessarily bigger things, but just other things at that point. As far as the sports-like nature of SmackDown, I don't think that it's a coincidence at this point if it's coming across that way. I think for a while SmackDown has had a little more of that feel, at least to me. But then I'm going to go into a rant here about the Halloween street fight. About a year ago on 205 Live, they had just a full-on Halloween episode, and it was just an abomination of a wrestling program that I sat through for an hour to cover it, and just seeing the candy corn canes and all that stuff, and the fact that they used that type of stuff in last night's match, or not last night, Sunday's match at Evolution with the canes and all like the vicious street fight stuff. I just think having it be Pumpkins and candy and all that stuff within the scope of street fight, it just waters down actual street fights, especially, yeah, like I said, coming off the heels of the match that Charlotte and Becky had. So I can't stand the Halloween stuff. I don't like when they do it before Christmas either. Yes. Just leave it. I'm over it.
See,
rant over.
No, I'm glad you did that. I agree with everything you said, and I know people are enjoying it. The job of pro wrestling and this sounds so contradictory to how people feel. The job of a pro wrestling promoter isn't just to entertain the fans. In fact, that's not the main purpose. The main purpose is to get the fans invested enough in the product that they want to see more and they'll pay to see more, and that they think matches are important and they think titles are important. You protect the integrity of what's happening. And when Cesaro just loses like that and it's no big deal and it's sort of seen as just, it's a comedy moment off to the side, it doesn't really count. I think you lose more than you gain. I think that they pay an intangible price. And so, yeah, I think it cheapens street fights. I think it cheapens so many aspects of it. But, yeah, just seeing Cesaro lay down like that for a job in a frivolous ha-ha moment match, I think does more damage than good. And I think put other wrestlers out there in that type of match. And I know the idea is, well, New Day can have a lot of fun with this. And, you know, who else is a six-man you know, who else would make sense to put them against it? And I understand the rationale for it. And that all said, like, to me, you book New Day in a Halloween match, and then you bring Sanity in, speaking of missing in action. And yeah, they'll come in, and you have them just kick all the pumpkins out of the ring and kick ass and get over by the fact that they're not going to participate in a comedy match, and they just destroy New Day because New Day are being so freaking frivolous that they can't stand it, and they just beat the crap out of them. And then New Day wake up the next week and go, maybe we ought to be serious and we can have a more successful career instead of just being here for laughs. So there's my little fantasy counterpoint.
Well, yeah. That though, it's so true, and that way you accomplish two goals with that. You can still do your Halloween thing or whatever if that's really what you absolutely have to do. Okay, you get that job done, but then you also use it to get another act over, like Sanity, and it makes perfect sense for them to do a run-in of that nature in a scenario like that. But just to have it, like, those canes hurt. You saw welts all over Becky and Charlotte's back yesterday, and then to have the announcer is just yucking it up over, oh, it's a candy corn cane. Like, it's just like, man, you're just really doing it all a disservice. I hated that part of tonight.
Just have like a Primo and Epico against, Aiden English and Kurt Hawkins. You know, if you really need to have Smash Pumpkins, then Smash Pumpkins, with all due respect to Billy Corgan, on, you know, as a little sideshow match with lower card wrestlers, but don't, put, yeah, for all those reasons and more. All right. Jeff from Colorado. Yeah. With the one match I want to see at Crown Jewel out of the way, the Trick or Treat Street Fight. Just kidding. Seriously, though, with the Bryan Styles match done tonight, I will be canceling my network subscription in protest of the decision to follow through with Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia. What day would be the best day to cancel so that WWE management understands this is because of Saudi Arabia? I almost wish we had all banded together and canceled on the same day. Thanks for the great content. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say when I say I hope Todd Martin, the star of the hit podcast The Fix with Todd Martin, is enjoying himself on the Jericho Cruise. Everyone go VIP. All the best, Jeff from Colorado. Thanks, Jeff. Yes, Todd will be back. The Fix is delayed a day this week, at least. I'm hoping Todd doesn't have food poisoning on the cruise. I hear that happens a lot on cruises. I expect it to happen even more so on the Jericho Cruise for some reason. And so hopefully Todd is fine and comes back and is able to do the Fix on Thursday night instead of Wednesday night. I genuinely am looking forward to hearing all about it. So VIP members can look forward to that later this week. As for, I think if you want to cancel this week, cancel and send a tweet out to fan services saying why, or, you know, find the email online, to email them. I mean, those are ways to do it. If that's how you feel and you want to protest, I want to hear if somebody cancels their VIP membership, I want to know why. You know, I think WWE would invite, and value your opinion on why you're canceling. I don't know that timing it now versus Friday makes much of a difference. If you did it 1 minute before Crown Jewel starts, I guess that'd probably be the most symbolic way to do it. But, you know, if everyone just a minute before Crown Jewel suddenly, you know, 20,000 people cancel, I guess that would send quite the message. But
yeah, I'm a big believer in if that's what you think is necessary, then, you know, by all means, go ahead and do it. And in this instance, I don't think that it really matters when you do it, as long as you do it ahead of that show, if that's the message that you're trying to send. And I'm not sure WWE will do anything about it, but hey, at least you're making your voice heard, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Awesome. Zach, we will end on that note. Great callers, great emails, great on-site correspondent, great co-host, great show. All worked out well. I think you're in good shape. I don't think you'll be banned. I think Matt Kuhn. Well, see, Matt Kuhn on the Raw brand did not get a threat from me that if he would be off forever if he didn't do better numbers. It's only you who is at risk. But I think we're in good shape.
Yeah, I think I'm going to, you know, tweet Matt right now, and him and I are going to band together against your tyranny here.
Sounds good. All right, thanks for being tuned in.
Thanks for having me, Wade. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Zach. Appreciate it. All right, so tune in later this week. Rich Fan joins me on the Thursday flagship. Send questions for the flagship into WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. Many of you already have, and I look forward to more of them. Let us know what you want us to talk about, and sound off on a really busy week or two in wrestling here with so much going on especially the WWE side of things. But if you want to talk NXT, New Japan, ROH, the future of Cody and the Bucks and Kenny Omega, all that good stuff, send questions in. WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. I'll answer your questions. on the flagship this week. Rich Van from the PW Torch Livecast's Saturday Deep Dive show is my co-host. And then Friday, the plan is to have a special episode with an ex-creative team member talking about Evolution and the future of women's wrestling in WWE. So tune in Friday for that. That's over on our Blue Brand. It's the same logo, different color. And instead of post show, it says podcast, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast. So subscribe to that. Don't miss out on all the other content we provide during the week. And same thing goes for the livecast. Check out the PW Torch livecast lineup. The Wednesday night show is PWT Talks NXT. That's actually available late Wednesday night or sometime early Thursday. We've also got shows dedicated to ROH, MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling Fans, Impact, and more. We also had the post-Evolution call-in show, Wrestling Night in America, Sunday night, with Greg Parks taking live calls with an on-site correspondent talking about Evolution. So if you haven't subscribed to the PW Torch livecast lineup yet, that's free. You just have to search Pro Wrestling Torch or PW Torch. One or both will work on your podcast app on Stitcher or TuneIn Radio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or whatever podcast app you use, Beyond Pod, Downcast. Just search PW Torch or Pro Wrestling Torch and subscribe, and you've got seven other wrestling podcasts from the PW Torch team throughout the week, all with different themes on a daily basis. Follow me on social media at The Wade Keller and follow our brand on Twitter at PW Torch. On Facebook, you can friend me at facebook.com/WadeKellerTorch or like our brand also at Facebook at facebook.com/PW Torch. You can also follow us on Instagram at PW Torch. And speaking of PW Torch, be sure to check out pwtorch.com. That is our main website. We've launched in 1999. It is a site where you can get my live coverage and analysis of Raw and SmackDown as they air every Monday and Tuesday night. Same thing with WWE pay-per-views. Also, that's where you get the afternoon news update with a good overview of breaking news, exclusive tidbits, and just multiple news items. So be sure to check that out. Every mid to late afternoon, the pwtorch.com afternoon update. It's how we started it all back in late 1999 when we launched the site with the Torch Today updates, our afternoon version. So that is back as of this month on just about every day. So it's another reason to go to pwtorch.com, as are our new weekly overviews on Impact, ROH, New Japan, NXT, and WWE. In-depth articles recapping the week for each brand. Live event results, future lineups, the very latest on what is coming up for super shows or takeover specials or the next pay-per-view or the next big stadium show. Also, social media highlights, podcast highlights, special commentary at the end, also upcoming dates. Just everything you can imagine, all in one click. It's at the top of pwtorch.com on our mobile version and our desktop version. So make it a tab, make it a bookmark, make it a home screen button. That's pwtorch.com. Tons of other features throughout the week that you won't find anywhere else. That's pwtorch.com. Also, check out mmatorch.com. Mike Hisko is back. He is managing editor of the site. More news, more editorials, more live fight coverage, more fight preview cards than ever. Check it out. mmatorch.com is back up and running with Mike back on board with way more articles than we've had in quite a while. So check that out, mmatorch.com. If you're a fan of MMA, UFC, Bellator, and want to keep up on what's going on with Brock Lesnar, Jon Jones, Conor McGregor, and more. Also, pwpodcast.com is our sister site with written recaps of pro wrestling personality-hosted podcasts. Check it out, pwpodcast.com, a quick way to read about what people are saying, famous people in wrestling are saying, on their podcast if you don't have time to listen to them all. That will do it for me for today. Until Thursday's flagship edition of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast with Rich Van, this is Wade Keller signing off here on the Post Show. Thank you for downloading the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. Don't forget, you can get these shows with the ads and plugs and commercials all edited out on our special VIP audio feed with a VIP membership. That applies to all four shows that I host during the week, the Wade Keller Post Shows, and podcasts later in the week And also, all 7 PW Torch live casts, plus all of our VIP exclusive shows throughout the month. There's about 100 of them. I host about 12 per week that are VIP exclusive. The Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, post-pay-per-view roundtables, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, and the Fix with Todd Martin. We got a bunch of other great content. Check out full details at pwtorchvipinfo.com. That's pwtorchvipinfo.com. Yes, all the VIP podcasts, including the ad-free versions of this show, are compatible with popular podcast apps on both iPhone and Android. You can also stream the shows right from our ad-free VIP website, which is mobile-friendly and desktop-friendly. So check out details if you want to support us and get these shows ad-free and a ton of other VIP-exclusive podcasts. That's pwtorchvipinfo.com for more details. We've got a mobile-friendly sign-up form. You can be VIP in about 2 minutes. Go for it. pwtorchvipinfo.com. If you shop at Amazon, I have a request. When you shop at Amazon, don't go to Amazon.com. That sounds weird. How are you going to shop at Amazon if you don't go there? Well, don't go directly there. Start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. When you go there, there's a giant Amazon logo. Click on it. It takes you right to the Amazon homepage where you were heading anyways, but that small detour tells Amazon, we sent you there. And when they get that message, they send us a commission on everything that you buy. So it's a great way to support us without having to do anything different other than when you shop at Amazon, start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for your support.